This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios, the band Honey Honey. It's Suzanne Santo and Ben Jaffe. Guys, welcome to JPR. Thanks for being here.
Hello.
Thank you so much. It's Jaffe, actually.
It's not Jaffe.
You're
such a jerk.
No, I was kidding.
It's Jaffe.
Yeah. We should wish you a happy birthday. You just celebrated a birthday.
Thank you so much. No need for that.
The band is technically from Los Angeles, though neither of you are from there, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, wow.
Suzanne, you're from Cleveland, and
Ish,
Ben,
I'm
you're
from the burbs of Cleveland.
Yeah, so Cleveland. It's anybody that's not from Cleveland, you just say Cleveland, right?
Pretty much.
Ben, what about you? Massachusetts somewhere?
Yeah, Western Mass and New York State too. Kind of, there's like a little tri-state area.
So how did the two of you end up in Los Angeles? Before even meeting one another, how'd you end up there?
I followed a dude. I was acting. I was living in New York City. New York City, that's how you say it. And I followed my first love to Los Angeles, and then we broke up.
Oh, boy.
Barrel.
I was avoiding college, which I'm successfully still doing.
Ben got into NYU.
At this point. And just had an opportunity. I'd never been to California or L.A., but a friend of mine had a place there, and he said I could stay. So I did.
So here are two young 20-somethings in Los Angeles. How do you end up meeting one another?
We had a mutual friend that we were both doing our solo projects with, and it was kind of like a dear friend / mentor, and he introduced us at a Halloween party at my house. We had I had a real party house in Venice Beach when I was 20, 21.
Suzanne was dressed as a cheetah. I was Ralph Macchio.
You actually remember that, or are you just making it up
No,
now?
No. Believe me, we talked about this a lot.
Probably 1,000 times at this point. Yeah. It's still fun.
Might as well get it out there.
And you guys were both really young, right? I mean, like just into your
20s? We're not over the hill yet.
That's the point I'm making. You're still not old. So you must have been really young at the time.
We were, yeah.
Yeah, we were, I think, 21, maybe 21, 22 at the latest when we started the band.
How long did it take you guys to figure out that making music together was something that would work between the two of you?
It honestly happened pretty fast because Ben came over to my house and we wrote. And the second song we wrote was a song called Come On Home that we've closed almost every set with for the past 8 years. And it was this big feeling of just like, holy shit, this is awesome. And can I say shit?
No, but I'll edit it out.
Great.
But it's the reason we're so excited. You said before we started taping this that you had played Come On Home a lot, which is so exciting to hear because that's not a song that's gotten a lot of attention in general from anyone outside of us. But we play every single show. We used to close every show for like 7 years
it's
with like that song.
It's like the cult classic of our song
groups. Yeah, so thank you for floating that one out.
Well, that was all the way back in 2008. That's the track that we identified on that first record that you
that's
guys put
crazy.
Out. Suzanne, you said that when you were in Los Angeles, you were doing some acting. That was actually your chosen path for a while, right? Before music kind of took over?
Yeah, it was. Well, it's funny because I was working. You know, I was actually like doing some cool stuff for a little while. And most of the cool stuff I did was in New York. But I never thought I would play music professionally. I was just, when I'd broken up with my boyfriend, I didn't have any friends in LA, and I was really sad and really lonely and very depressed. And my first like 6 months to a year in LA were very dark. And I wrote songs because I was sad, and it was like I had nothing else to do. And I had my dad's Alvarez guitar that he'd given me. It was all these weird 6 degrees of separation. My roommate's friend was the guy, Todd, that introduced Ben and I. And she had this other friend who was a booker who booked open mic nights. And like one day was like, you should play one. Because I'd like be in my room playing guitar all day, writing the worst songs you've ever heard. And I just started playing like that. And the people I met that night at that show were people that like kept introducing me to this person. And then like it just kept getting bigger. And it was a really interesting way to sort of find the path because I never really intentionally did it.
Do you get something different out of making music than you got out of acting?
Oh yeah. I mean, they're both so different and they're both, great passions. I mean, it's different when you're writing your own music and it's your story as opposed to emulating someone else's story, but also conjuring up your true feelings that relate to that story as far as acting goes.
And Ben, how about your background? Has it been music the whole time?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I started
male
playing
modeling in the late
90s. Young, yeah, but that was all pro bono. So not a professional pursuit. I was really lucky in the community I grew up in. I think I had a lot of people I looked up to who let me play with them when I was a kid. You know, I started gigging when I was 14, 15 years old and just never really stopped. And then when I moved to LA, again, all, you know, serendipitously, I met these great people who would be inviting me in recording sessions and getting involved. And I don't know, I've had a pretty straight run of it, you know.
Honey Honey is my guest live today in the JPR studios. There are a lot of brand news. There's a brand new record. It's called Three. There's a brand new record label we'll talk about. There's new management. There's new publicists. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Digging in.
HoneyHoneyBand.com is the website for information. It's Suzanne Santo and Ben Jaffe live in the studios. What do you guys want to play first?
We're going to play a tune called What You Gonna Do Now. Baby, that fire's coming down right into your walls, right out of your mouth, and everything you love's just ash on the ground. Ooh, so what you gonna do now? So you run to you won't find anything if you don't find peace. Ooh, babe, so what you gonna do now? Don't wait till you die, 'cause you can always change your mind.
That is What You're Gonna Do Now. It's music from the new record called Three from the band Honey Honey. Suzanne Santo and Ben Jaffe are my guests live today in the JPR studios. Nearly 10 years together as a band. Does that seem a little crazy considering you have just celebrated kind of a milestone birthday?
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much spent our 20s together. But it's funny, I don't think about it. To be honest, I don't think about the time very often. I mean, I'm proud that we've persisted and continued to do it, but it doesn't, I don't know, I don't spend much mental energy thinking about, you know, how long it's been and, you know, what's happened, I guess. There's so much going on now that it's kind of hard to find that time for me, at least.
It's funny, we have these just memories that come up from time to time when we're touring the country, and it's like, oh my God, last night we played the Independent in San Francisco, and Ben was like, yeah, we played this with Rocco DeLuca before, and I honestly don't remember.
2009.
Like, I remember the tour, but I was like, we've been here before, but I could not physically place myself there. But at the same time, I mean, we've just done so many tours over the years that sometimes it gets a little jumbled.
But there's something so
amazing.
And all
the hard drugs.
Woo.
Just kidding.
There's something amazing about hard drugs. No, about traveling the country this consistently, you know, for this long. You know, we haven't been in the Northwest in kind of a while. The last time we were here was 2013. We played with this kid, Jake Bugg.
Oh, sure.
The great British musician. But to have the kind of familiarity with the country that we have, I'm realizing as I talk to more of my friends, it's unique, and it feels really good to know that, okay, we're driving up, oh, there's Weed, there's Mount Shasta, there's all these places. You know, we've been here before a couple times.
Yeah.
You know?
You guys put out a beautiful debut record called First Rodeo. Then there was this period where there was a follow-up record that was one of those, you know, dozens of records you hear about that kind of came out and then just sort of got lost in the shuffle. This was like the last record that Lost Highway released before Lost Highway folded, right?
Yeah. Correct.
So there was no push by the label. There was no big tour or any of that kind of stuff to support the album once it was out there. What did that do to your career trajectory? Did it just kind of pause for a bit, or were you guys not really noticing that?
To be honest, it kind of paused before that, because the original record label we were on kind of dissolved while we were releasing our first record too. You know, we had some great opportunities, we had some great build to a release, and then it kind of fell apart. We spent almost a year getting out of a difficult legal situation. Then we released the second record and that label folded. So we're kind of the kiss of death.
Well, you know, can I be honest with you? We have a great record company now, but at the end of the day, the record companies, at least as far as our experience, are not the ones that break the band. We're all working in tandem together, but it's a combination of so many different things, of the fan base, of the live show, the touring, podcasts, and finding other creative ways to partner with people and, you know, if you're lucky enough, get that slingshot exposure that's like in a movie or a commercial or something. And that's kind of up to the ether to manifest. But at the same time, I think if there's something we've learned from our years and years of doing this and working with record companies, they don't really, it's kind of up to us, you know, to keep doing what we're doing and maintain the relationships that we have. But I don't, at least as far as a lot of people in our position, I've never felt like the record company broke the band. You know, at least, well, it'd be great if they did. We're totally down.
I like what you said, though, about it's one piece of a puzzle, and I think they would agree with that more and more now as recorded music is so hard to find, like, at least the financial role of that in a business. It's obviously important and a huge piece of what we're doing, but it's like the spectrum is much wider than that.
Yeah. One other thing that is brand new for you guys is your producer. And you have you have picked Midas, basically. Because in the last year and a half, Mr. Dave Cobb has produced the album of Jason Isbell.
Yeah.
I think that did pretty well for him. And he's also the guy running the knobs and levers for the Sturgill Simpson record, which is tremendous.
Yeah.
How did you end up getting connected with a guy who is on such a hot streak right now?
We're just kind of aware of each other over the years. We work with this great woman named Kim Bowie, who was the A&R woman at Lost Highway for a while and is, I think, at New West now. Just like a great record industry personality in person.
Well, can I interrupt? I think that's sort of that thing we were just talking about, like the continuation of relationships and people, not just like business wise, but people, like Kim's a really good friend of ours and someone that's stuck with us through all of the stuff when we left our agents and we got new agents and we left our management. You know, at the end of the day, the people that brought us to Dave Cobb were mostly people that we've known for a really long time that are always in our corner and that were like, you guys have to meet this guy, Dave Cobb. Mm. And it was really cool to have that kind of support and rallying because you can't just like call him up. Or at least I'd like to think you can, but you can't. You
maybe
know?
Now.
Maybe, well, now we can call
him. Not then. And yeah, and he liked the music we were making. I think it's as simple as that. We had some pretty good demos. We'd moved to Nashville to do this record in 2012. 2014, we actually, throughout that two-year period, we kept going back to L.A. to record because that's where we knew people to record. So finally we said, forget it, we're going back to L.A. And literally, Suzanne left, and then a few months later, I left. And the morning I left Nashville, we got this call from Dave Cobb, and he's like, hey, I want to do your record, guys. And
we're like, no, oh, Ben God. Was on the 40 West
yeah, and
going
I was like,
with his car packed full of stuff to come to L.A., and then he was like, should I turn around? What do I do?
So how does the timeline of this work then with the new record deal, which is Rounder Concord, which is now the same, used mm-hmm. to be different. Did you guys have a record that was kind of coming together and then landed with Rounder Concord? Or
yeah. I mean, we had actually recorded a whole version of the record with our own money the summer before. Was it the summer? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was like we paid for really nice demos.
So when you get the label and the publicist team and new management and all that, does that just raise the stakes and put more pressure on you to make sure you're really doing it right?
I mean, it can. I think it's all in your attitude to it. Yeah. I think it's, you know, we have the chance. There's so many conflicting things that happen. You know, it's a huge opportunity. To have a support network, a structure, you know, like a structure that has so much experience putting out music. So that's a help. But then it's difficult working with a bureaucracy of people as opposed to just her and I, which is what it was for a long time.
Yeah.
That's an adjustment. And then all of a sudden, it takes a lot of calming down to not point fingers and to keep working together and just being a team. But I think we're doing a pretty good job. You know, we love the people we're working with.
Honey Honey is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. Their new record out on Rounder is called 3, the number 3. HoneyHoneyBand.com is their website. It's Suzanne Santo and Ben Jaffe live in the studios. What are you guys going to play next?
We're going to play a tune called Burned Me Out. Oh, babe, I gotta say, I learned the hard way with you. Your words like books had me hooked like summertime, cooking up my mind all the way through. I guess I held on too tight. I broke my fingers on your floor that night, and I lost my faith in my own breath. Who knew that love could feel like death? But it's not your concern, and all I really learned. All your rounds around about, oh man, they burn me out. You say that God knows the way, but I'm standing in the dark. I soaked you up, you wrung me out here on a line, messing up my time in the park. Oh, but it's not your concern, no. And all I really learned, all your
I won't put it on you. I am well aware that I cause us trouble too, and I won't look back on you with anger. No, I won't, even if you do the same or if you don't. Oh, but it's not your concern, no. All I really learned is all your
That is Burn Me Out. It's music from Honey Honey live here on Jefferson Public Radio. Their new record is called Three. That one out on Rounder Records. HoneyHoneyBand.com for more information. Suzanne Santo on lead vocals and guitar and soon to be fiddle. And Ben Jaffe on guitar and harmony vocals. So do you guys write separate or together? Because just watching the two of you interact, not only when you're making music, but when you're not making music, there is tremendous familiarity between the two of you. So do the songs come about together or separate?
Depends on the song, but one we're gonna play Yours to Bear next, and that's on our new record, but it's been around for a couple years, and that's probably the purest collaboration we've ever had. We just got together and improvised from step one. But a lot of the songs, you know, they come from varying degrees. Suze will write a whole song by herself, I wrote a whole song, or we'll kind of tinker these pieces together. Did that make sense?
You guys have kind of talked about how that song perhaps best describes the group, the relationship, the everything, Yours to Bear, right? After 10 years, roughly 10 years together.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's funny. Something that's really cool about writing together and separately is that we still kind of feel like we have one voice at this point. And, you know, we have a very similar style of at least the bar that we have raised for the kind of lyrics we want to write. And, you know, we sort of have a shorthand in between us when we're writing, and we kind of, you know, bounce it off of each other. So it's just, I don't know, I'm going off book here, but it's really a comfort to have that kind of support for one another. Mm. You know, I feel really good about, I'll just speak for myself, but I think it's both of us, about the songs that we're putting out there, you know, coming from a specific place and kind of always trusting that we're giving it our best.
Yeah. I got that feeling. I was really excited when we were kind of copy editing our album artwork, and all the lyrics are listed. So you go through and you read every single lyric that's on the record, which I hadn't done ever. And this record felt unique. I'm proud of all of our records, but every single word, I was like, I stand behind every word on this record. And I think, you know, there's no further standard than that for me, at least.
The other thing that happened for you guys this year at some point, and maybe it happened a little earlier than this year, was the transition from a support act to headlining.
Yeah.
So other than the obvious, you get to play more songs.
It's
right?
Crazy.
What has that shift been like for you guys?
It's been incredible. It's been, we have the energy for the set, which is awesome, but it's a whole different, it's like the night shift. You know, when you're opening, you play for a half hour and that's it. And then you sell merch and you get drunk and have fun and meet people and talk to people all night. And you sell merch after the headliner's done. And it was an interesting timeline as far as the every night, you know, you're kind of in this pocket. But now, you know, we're not going to bed until 2:30, 3 in the morning sometimes, because we have to pack up all our stuff, and you know, we don't have a big crew at this juncture, so we're kind of like, it's a lot of energy, and it's something that we're discovering now that we really need to have days off in between, because it's just, you're just up all night, and we're maybe sleeping like 5 hours on the regular, if we're lucky, 4 or 5, you know. And then when we have, you know, actual days off, you get some rest.
Something I want to say about the headlining that's such a change is you get to see who your audience is. We get to see our audience. You know, we've been playing for years to huge crowds that didn't come to see us. And now we're playing to crowds that are coming to see us, and we get to see who these people are, and it's incredibly gratifying.
Cool.
And they're so sweet. Everyone has said, like, and they actually said this last night at the venue we played in San Francisco. And we talked to the security crew, and we're talking to the people as we're wrapping things up, and they loved our crowd. You know what I mean? There's a sense of pride that comes along with that, you know, because these people are happy and kind and excited, and that's the kind of environment we've been working to create for a long time.
You know, we've had a lot of bands pull into our parking lot in Sprinters and band vans. I cannot say I've ever seen anybody pull up in a Caddy.
Preach
now,
it.
And now that is interesting enough, but who used to own this thing?
You are all over it.
So we...
it's a gold star.
We bought the car. We put out a song of ours. It's called Punk Kid before this record came out. We put it online to raise money. We said, donate what you want. The money that we make from this song, we're going to go towards buying our own vehicle because we're sick of renting vans. And we went in the market to buy a van, and then we realized we do not want a van in our lives that much. You know what I mean? We kind of want to separate ourselves from
a van. Also, we had to trade my car in.
Yeah, and Sue's wanted to trade her car.
I did not want to drive a 15-passenger van around Los Angeles.
Yeah, wasn't going to happen.
That's the last thing I'd want to do.
But so now you look like you're a ball player.
Would come out.
It's really funny.
You know, manifesting it will come true.
It's a mess.
But so we bought this used Cadillac Escalade because it's a big...
2007.
Big old, big old SUV with 59,000 miles on it. And we were looking through the owner's manual one day to try and figure out how to, like, you know, turn the electronic seat heaters on in the back with the refrigerator or something like that. And the former owner's registration pops out. And some people know who he is, some people don't. But this guy, Elon Musk, was the guy whose registration came out, who's the, you know, inventor of Tesla and PayPal and all these
SpaceX.
Things.
SpaceX.
We've got superchargers up and down Interstate 5. Yeah, we've got quite a few of them here in town.
We're just going to call him up and ask if he can... you know, design an electric bus and or SUV, and then we'll go from there.
Honestly,
we'll just call him.
That would solve it all. That would solve it all. Because one of my, think about this, sorry to blab, but when we're on the road and when things are growing, this is a business that's growing, right? So you start to look, okay, what are the issues that need to be resolved? What are we good at and what are we bad at? What can we make better? And the thing that I struggle with almost more than anything else is how much we drive and how we drive. You know, we just burn gas all day long, every day. And this just seems like an amazing bit of, I don't know, maybe a window into the Musk world to be like, dude, let's
maybe you could retrofit it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Sort of go Tesla Escalade.
Tescalade.
Honey are my guests live here in the JPR studios. It's Suzanne Santo and Ben Jaffe. The new record is called Three. It's out on Rounder. You can find information on the band at honeyhoneyband.com. And speaking of the website, I know you guys are going to play one last tune for us. One of the things that is very obvious in speaking with you is that you're both incredibly approachable. And you've actually sectioned off a part of your website, which you have dubbed the, and I'll be safe with this. You've already dropped one S-bomb today during the session.
It's been very difficult not to drop more.
It's called the talking sht section.
Uh-huh.
What happens behind that login?
Well, we just started it, so we actually haven't tapped in yet, but we wanted to create a forum where we could really talk to our fans and, you know, interact in this way that wasn't just our Facebook email. And we already have these really cool relationships with people over the years that you just see, you know, the familiar faces in different cities. And we just wanted to take it a step further. And, you know, we're really into blogging, you know, our road blogs and stuff like that. So we just kind of wanted to get a little bit closer.
Honey is live today in the studios. You guys are going to play one more, right? Yours to Bear?
Yes, sir.
Drop your body to the ground. the lost and found. Watch another lover come around. I don't wanna let you down. Calls me out when I cause you pain. You don't hesitate and you shoot me straight. You're the only one who knows my name. Ooh, I am yours to bear. You're mine to share my days with. As an alibi, say you're not when I know you're trying. Use the past like it's enemy fire. No, I don't wanna make you cry now. Ooh, I am yours to bear. You're mine to share my day.
That is beautiful. It's Yours to Bear. Honey, Honey, live in the JPR studios, a track from their new record called Three. It's Suzanne Santo, that time on fiddle and vocals, Ben Jaffe on guitar and vocals. Suzanne, Ben, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, thank you so much. Honestly, when you said you've been playing us for so many years, it's really such an honor to be here finally.